For him, sir.
Really?
Wait. What'd you say?
No way. So you got water bottles for everybody, bro.
For everybody, bro.
Look at that.
And you still single?
Still single.
Come on, bro. We got to get you on a Tinder, bro. Actually, not a Tinder, because Tinder don't got like the Christian such. But
we brought Christian... Zay, and he's sponsoring Tinder.
Wait. Christian Mingle, right?
There you go.
There's
an Adventist
really?
Mingle or something like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that. I thought it was like a website. I didn't think it was like a whole app.
No, I think it's a real. I mean, it's just a website. I don't think you can download an app.
Okay.
Welcome to a new episode of Roundtable Talks. I am your host for today, Vitor. I'm here with my friend.
Still Jose.
Jose, what? Why you gotta introduce yourself like that? And our two esteemed guests, we have on my left, Zay. Would you care to introduce yourself a little bit?
My name's Jose, aka Zay. And what do I say where I'm from or something like?
Sure, yeah.
Whatever right. you want.
Sorry, all right.
But make it quick because we still got to introduce our other guests.
I'm from New York. I was born in Puerto Rico, but my family's Dominican. But I'm a Philly boy because I was raised in Philly, so I'm Philly boy.
All right.
There you go.
And to my right, Kelvin.
That's right. My name is Kelvin Del Valle. I don't have a nickname, just Kelvin. I like Zay, by the way. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
It's a good nickname, bro.
Born in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. It's the greatest city on earth. Shout out 615. Whole family's Puerto Rican.
Hey.
Puerto Rican.
That's right. So yeah, that's me. Born in Nashville. I was just there this past weekend. But anyway, love being here.
Look at that.
Cool. All right. Let me get...
What a stand-up guy.
This guy. Let me get some of y'all's... just a little bit of more what you do here at SWAU. Zet, what... is your role here and what's your major, and you can tell us a little bit about that and how you chose that.
Well, I'm a theology major.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I don't know if like the talking a lot gave it away. But I think the role that I play, I'm just a student here. I just transferred this semester, so I'm just really trying to vibe in, you know, get where I get in.
Where did you transfer from?
Puerto Rico. La Universidad Adventista de las Antillas.
So, yeah,
that's in Puerto Rico. It was a nice island, beautiful island. Miss it. I love it there. But needed a scenery, you know, change the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Came to Texas. Yeah.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah. It was nice. It's nice here.
Not Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's not Puerto Rico. There you go. It's not Puerto Rico.
You miss Puerto Rico?
Oh, yes. Like the people there, the island, the generosity that people have, it's effortless out there. So it's something about that island that I love. It's home. It feels homey. Love the people there. They treat you like family, like even if you never know them. It's amazing. I love mm-hmm. it. Love it there.
That does seem cool. I wish I got to live in an island. You know, imagine just surrounded by beach
mm-hmm.
all over.
Yeah, man. The beaches are beautiful. Beautiful.
There's always one close by.
Yep.
Right? I mean...
100 miles long, 35 miles wide. There's always a beach.
35 miles wide.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that big, yeah.
That's what? That's here from until... Dallas?
South Dallas? It's not big.
That's across the whole island.
And
it's
then
crazy.
You get 100 miles long. Mm-hmm. So it's like DFW. It's an island.
Yeah.
If DFW was an island, yeah. Nice. Good comparison.
It is.
And then smack 3.5 million people in there and you got Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Dude,
yep.
Imagine if DFW was surrounded by beach.
Mm.
Oh my God.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah. What about you, Kelvin?
Well, I mentioned I was from Nashville, so... Being from there and just being surrounded by country music and just Broadway streets of hundreds of studios that all the biggest people in the world come from, and my dad just loving radio, it's kind of something that I knew I wanted to do. And so when we moved out here, I started studying communication. I'm still studying communication. So emphasis in radio and Christian radio, sports radio. I've jumped into both of them, and we'll see what God decides to do and what doors He decides to open. But that's kind of my career path. Somewhere in Christian or sports radio, I'll be happy doing either or both. I know a couple people that do both, so we'll see what happens.
That's dope. Yeah,
Christian and sports radio. How does that work?
So, like, there's a guy. For example, I met a guy this past weekend in Nashville at a radio convention that I was at, who does his Christian music radio show in the morning, and then on evenings he does sports radio. Mm. So, I guess he double dips, which is really cool. That's a lot of work to prepare two different 4-hour shows. So it's like an 8-hour work day. Ooh. Add another 4 hours of prep. So it's like 12 hours every day. But man, if you love it,
yeah,
it comes naturally. So I don't think I want to do that much of work early on. But man, if I have to, I have to. But Christian sports radio, one of those two.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever gets your foot in the door.
Absolutely.
Usually a lot of work.
Do you
think this is something, I'm a communication student as well, and we study a lot about, you know, radio. We talk a lot about radio and different types of audio platforms. Mm-hmm. Would you say, and this is my personal opinion, that radio is a declining business and that podcast is the new audio format that will be eventually everywhere?
It's an interesting conversation. The only thing I will say is, if you go back in time when none of us were born, when, you know, Trackmans came out, everybody said, oh, there goes the radio, it's gone. When CDs came out, well, forget it. No one's going to listen to the radio anymore. Everyone's going to buy a CD. You know, when the first iPod Nanos, you guys remember the little iPod Nanos, when those first came out, everybody thought, oh, forget it, radio's done. And it seems like every time that something comes up that wants to kill radio, it's still in every single car that's made. And so radio now has gotten to a point where it's going to have to evolve with what's going on. So I do think podcasts are, I don't even know if podcasts are more of a hurt than maybe a help, because there's a lot of radio stations now that are packing portions of their shows, right? Because you're on for 4 hours a day. You can pack portions of your shows into 20-minute episodes and pump those out for people that might have missed the morning show because for whatever reason, right? So radio is evolving. A lot of it has turned into our phones. Nowadays, you can just download the app of whatever radio station you want. Like, for example, here at The Journey, we have our own app. You can just download the app and have The Journey anywhere that you go on planet Earth. So I think it would have to take something pretty catastrophic to completely demolish radio.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's declining. I would say it's time that it maybe catches up and evolves a little better. But I wouldn't say it's declining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because here's at least my two cents. I think every technology that has, like, that radio has taken a blow for, so like CDs or Nano or stuff like that, they were different technologies, right? And they CDs were used for music, and they all went in their own kind of branch. But podcasts, I think they're like radio online. They're exactly like it.
Sure.
The only thing is that they're on demand, right?
Right.
And that's where we see broadcast going. That's where we see TV going and stuff like that. Just on demand is growing a lot. And so I think, and that is just, you know, it's kind of the same. They both,
sure, I don't think it's,
they
like,
both go for the same type of content. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't think that it's like jumped over Mount Everest. It's super high, but I do think that it's flatlined for a very long time,
mm-hmm,
to where they need to maybe figure some things out. And they're doing it slowly and surely. Like I mentioned, I mean, if you just think about video, now a lot of radio stations will have cameras in their studios.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you'll get to see, oh snap, my morning show is like doing something really cool. They have a guest, let me watch the video on YouTube. So they're doing that. So
yeah,
it's still accessible. Like I said, it's still in every vehicle made. Even all the electric ones, there's still access to the radios. The problem that maybe podcast presents would be, as soon as we get into our cars, what's the first thing we do? We either plug in an aux cord, right?
Yeah.
Or we can just connect Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And the radio doesn't even get touched.
Right. Exactly.
So that might be the only thing. But yet again, people are still listening to the radio. They love their talk right. shows. They love their morning shows. They love their evening shows. They mm-hmm. love their sports radio shows. Whatever it is, politics has, over the last year and a half, exploded radio because right. that's kind of where the big platform is. So,
mm-hmm. what kind of demographic does radio really target?
I think it just depends on the show. I think it just depends on the station. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, here at The Journey, our target audience is a middle-aged mom with three kids. Mm-hmm. That's 70% of our listenership. And so everything that we do, not that we don't care about that 30%, but everything that we do is to keep that 74%, which is a middle-aged mom with three kids.
Right.
So everything is kind of geared towards her. So we talk to her. And so, you know, sports, I mean, when you watch a football game, commercials are all about cars and watches and, you know, clinics that you can go for men. I mean, it's just like that. That's yeah, that's yeah. what everything's geared to. So I think it just kind of depends on
right.
mm-hmm. on the station for sure.
Anybody want to jump in? I've been blabbing too much.
I've been blabbing too much.
That's not my my criteria. Like, I don't know much about radio, but I just think that I love podcasts. Like, it's just like podcasts yeah. for me. It's like
yep.
I feel like radio, you could, you know, if you happen to come across it while you turn on your car, then, you know, you'll listen to it. But like podcasts is like I could save it for later and watch it later, kind of.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I think my interaction with radio on the car, at least, is like when I unplug my phone and then the radio automatically tunes in and the volume is crazy and I just like yep. shut it as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. Stop it. That's about as far as I go. But I have listened to a lot of shows, radio shows, on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're streaming and they're going and it's exactly like a podcast, but they have mm-hmm. people call in and they have different interactions. So by listening, I can tell it's a radio, but I would never have found out about the show if I didn't find it on Spotify or on other platforms.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just, yeah, I see a lot of people, and I don't know if that's like a Swau thing because we have the radio station here, but I see a lot of people focusing on radio in this school. I don't know if it's something particular to us. Or
it helps to have a radio station on campus.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine
that's so easily accessible to be worked at.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the other thing.
True.
Because I mean, I could have gone to Southern. I'm 2.5 hours from Southern in Nashville, and they have a classical Christian radio station yeah. on the campus of Southern. But it's like, I really hope no one from Southern is listening.
Let's see if someone from Tennessee shows up in the Democrats.
Yeah. I just, you know, the times that I would go to visit, I just never found it as like accessible as the station here is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it just depends. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people going in. I mean, there's a lot of people working at the radio station now. We've got like 13 DJs or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm. That's not even counting general manager and assistant manager. So.
Right. Yeah. We had a lot of contact with them for the beginning of the podcast. We were doing there are recordings there and mm-hmm. we're using the studio mm-hmm. and yeah, just we were very in touch with them. It was interesting to see recording a podcast on a radio station, you know. It's kind of yeah. it's, but I think yeah, it was cool, and it was cool to see how many students were in there and just how in touch they were with student workers. Mm. Okay, moving on from that.
I feel like you talk a lot about radio. You see, I'm a visual guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing things. Hearing is just not my thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't know how you feel about it, Zay. Are you a visual guy?
I do like, I watch this podcast, All the Smoke. And it's a mainly like a sports, but also like just a autobiography of what the player was and how the player is.
Is that with Steven Jackson and Matt Jackson. Barnes?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. It's like that. I love to see them talk, but I see them talking. Like yeah. with a podcast, I also love hearing because I've heard a couple of their episodes by ear, but just watching the video of them talking kind of like allows me to know, to get a better concept of like how they feel about certain things. And because they talk about, you know, controversial stuff. Like, for example, one of the episodes was about Shaq, and how Shaq was, you know, had problems, and also that he was raised in Germany. And kind of like his rough experience there. So it's kind of like you hear it in his voice, but also when you see the video, it's kind of like you get a better mm-hmm. concept of what he's talking about mm-hmm. and a better context of what he's talking about. Yeah.
That is cool. I think, I don't know, I think the video form of podcasts just, it's slowly turning podcasts into into TV shows.
It's kind of like marketing though, because it's like if I put it on Spotify, then people will listen to it. But then if I put a video up on YouTube about it, people can stream it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like multiple outlets and right. where you can, you know, get viewers true. And stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Particularly, I don't like watching podcasts. I just feel like I would. So I started to listen to podcasts when I was door dashing over the
you
summer.
DoorDash. Mm.
I did. Wow. I did DoorDash for a while. Yeah. Made quite a little bit, you know?
Okay.
$1 million?
Yeah, for sure, you know? The $1 million tip.
Enough to pay tuition.
Boy, you'd have to DoorDash for a while to do that yeah. one.
That's a good oh, entire high school DoorDashing over there.
Shout out to our Adventist schools.
Oh, that's man. Okay. Hey, we don't pay for the education. We pay for the experience.
That's right.
Yeah, and the experience is worth exactly... $7.25.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you guys work on campus?
Yeah. I work in advancement and pathways. I mean, I work in advancement.
Oh, pathways. So you get the big bucks.
In the gym.
You get the big bucks.
I don't know about, nah, only the coaches do that. Only the coaches get time, but.
What do you do with pathways?
Marketing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Sam was doing marketing for it.
Yeah, so she works, I think it's she's on marketing intern, and I'm just like starting out marketing. So I took the position that she had last year. So okay. I'm starting out on that. Yeah.
Well, that's
kind of
cool.
doing that.
Wait,
do you work?
I do work on campus. I work at the Journey.
He said, "Do you work?"
Just the Journey.
Just like, what do you do?
Like, so what are you?
Do you work here?
But yeah, no, I've worked at the Journey now for this will be year 4.
Oh, wow.
At the Journey.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you a senior or what?
Super senior.
So, I don't know. I guess I don't know how you guys want to classify this, but I guess starting in January will be my senior year.
Okay.
So I'll be graduating next December. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
I don't know what you want to call that. Hybrid junior senior, but my senior year I guess starts in January of this coming year.
Same thing for me. I'm graduating in December too.
Yeah. So I won't be graduating in May of next year. I'll be graduating in December. Semester early.
Okay.
Good. Well, technically not early cuz whatever, that's a whole other story.
Okay. Oh man.
What about you guys? When are you guys graduating?
I feel so young right now. I graduate 2024. So
yeah, I'm not trying to be that long.
That's if you pass everything.
Yikes. Oh, snap. Hey,
we'll see how Greek goes.
You know,
we'll see how
Greek classes? How you feel about that, Zay?
You just survive, honestly. It's not about passing. It's not about getting a 90, an A. You get a C, you happy. You know, like, that's how it is. I remember Pastor Soups, he came up to me and said, "I heard you're doing great in Greek." I was like, "I got a C in Greek." And he was like, "Yeah, well, that's better than you know what we had in the past. You know, you just survive." And I'm just like, okay, like, if that's the expectation, then if this is great, then this is as great as it's gonna get. Cause I ain't gonna get no 90, no 100, but I'm definitely passing.
Greek.
I'm definitely trying to pass.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So
I did.
Is that scary though? Like, for you guys, like, you guys are almost graduating. Like, is that scary for you guys? Like, thinking about what's to come and
a little bit, stuff a little like bit. That. To me personally, graduating is a little scarier because I'm an international student.
Yeah.
So as soon as I graduate, I gotta either get a really good job that's gonna pay for my visa. It's gonna have to apply for green card. It's gonna have to do like a bunch of things. So I gotta land like a sweet job, or I gotta get out. And then, yeah. And I have like, I think I have 3 months to get the job.
Yeah.
And then the job has a year to decide if they're gonna sponsor me or not. Dang. But I need to find a good job. So it's a little, yeah, it is a little like a bubble that's just growing and getting closer and closer to you, you know? And you just start like feeling like, okay, I need to get on it because 2 semesters.
So what is it about that's like so scary? Like,
what is it about?
Yeah, like,
it's the uncertainty. Like,
yeah,
for you guys, like, you guys are about to graduate and you have, and you, like, you get choices, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I get to decide where I'm gonna go, where I'm gonna apply, if I wanna go to this place, if I wanna go to that place. It's not really up to me to decide mm-hmm. where I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
It's up to the government, you know? Yeah, the man is gonna decide. And
right.
I just gotta, you know, wish and hope that it goes through. They can even not approve my visa. I can get a job, I can land a good job, they can try to get me to sponsor my visa, and they can like say, oh, you know, mm-hmm. an American can do that job, and then they can just not grant me the visa.
Yeah.
I have to get out. So it's gotta be like, yeah, it's, and it's just this constant like anxiety, you know, in the back of your mind. So I just gotta keep that in mind, or not, or try not to do that. So that's, I think that's why it's scarier for me. But yeah. I don't know about Kevin. What do you think?
I would say it's just to jump to reality, like very quickly. Because, like, even graduating high school, excuse me, sniffles today. Whew. Even like graduating high school, you kind of feel like, all right, I got like 4 more years of fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got 4 more years to chill.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, for example, this weekend, I was in Nashville for a radio convention for Christian music broadcasters, right? And I kind of came back with a little bit of reality checks, like, dang, in a year, I'm either going to be talking to one of these people for a job. And they kind of like, you know, they did a lot of seminars and stuff on how to, you know, look for a job and like what to say in our business and what a day could look like for you. And so, like, all of that stuff, I mean, it wasn't terrifying me, but it was like, dang, this is what my reality is going to be like in a year. Yeah. So I think for a lot of people, when it comes to graduating, it's that, it's like in like 6 months, you know, being out at 2 a.m. on a Thursday, it's like, that just can't happen anymore, because like, I gotta go to work the next day. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I think it's just the reality of those little things that maybe gets us seniors a little nervous as the days come. I mean, more for you, obviously, as you explained, but I think if we both can relate that, like, it's just the reality of, oh snap,
yeah,
when I don't have class tomorrow, like, I actually have to, like, I'm going 9 to 6 tomorrow, like, you know, that's I think that's the reality of what it all is,
man. Yeah. It's just getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes. What about for you guys? How? I mean, wait. So Jose, when did you come to the school?
To the school?
Yeah.
2020.
2020 was your first year. So
the COVID year.
The COVID year.
Dang.
How was that as COVID an experience? Child. You graduated. You didn't have a graduation, right?
No.
Dang. High school.
Never got to walk the famous. Jeez.
Dang.
Path to get my diploma.
Yeah.
But that was still fun.
Yeah.
You know. What about you, Zay? When did you come?
Oh, I came just this year. I mean, but when did I enter college? 2018.
2018. Okay. Yeah, so wait, how old are you, Zay?
I'm 21.
Are you 21?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see that.
You see it? Somebody came up to me earlier this semester. They were like, you look like you're 17. I was like,
whoa.
Thank you. I was like, dang, I thank you for the compliment, but like,
that's right, you'll age well.
Dang, yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. Like, if I look 17 now, then thank you, my brother. I really appreciate it. But yeah, they said, yo, you look like you're 17. I was like, my brother, I don't know about that one.
How do your parents look? Did they age well?
Oh, no. My mom aged well. I got my mom's genes, so thank God.
Okay.
My dad as well. He aged. I mean, he's 50 right now, but he looks like he's 40.
Okay, so. Okay. Are they both Dominican?
Yeah, both Dominican.
Okay.
Yeah, I was raised in that culture. Yeah, proud of it.
How is it to be a proud Dominican?
It's really great. Like, it's just like the people there are really prideful for who they are, really just wanting and loving and feeling blessed that they're Dominican. Mm-hmm. I'm used to like people being, especially in New York, because it's like, especially in central New York, because it's like, it's the epicenter of immigrants. It's like everybody wants to rep where they're from and their culture and all that.
Right.
So it's like, I'm used to seeing people like, oh, I'm from, you know, Egypt, and being proud they're from Egypt. Yeah. Oh, I'm from South Africa, I'm being proud that I'm from South Africa. Yeah. So it's like, I see that sometimes I go to different areas and people aren't really proud of where they're from. And that really saddens me. Cause it's like,
yeah,
if you're not proud of where you're from, then it's like, you're not really proud of where you came from. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, have a sense of pride for where you come from.
That's true.
I feel like that's tremendous respect. When I see somebody that, even if I don't know anything about the culture, and they prideful for where they come from, even if you're not born in the country,
yeah,
like, you don't have to necessarily, but like, you know that's your blood. Like, you like, yeah, you know, I'm, yo soy guatemalteco, like, you know, for example, with Jose's case, like, being proud of that. You're from Brazil, being proud of that. You're from Nashville, being proud of that. You know, being proud of that you're American. I haven't really seen, like, Americans be proud to be Americans. And I'm in America, and I've lived in America. But, like, somebody that be like, oh, I'm proud to be American. Because it's kind of tough, you know what I'm saying? Especially now, it's kind of tough, you know what I'm saying? So
I think...
I'm very proud to be American.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate somebody saying that. Because it's like, thank you for being proud of the American. Because it's like, right. I respect that.
Yeah.
Proud where you're from.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people try to correct things and they want to critique, they get that... They mess that with being unpatriotic.
Mm. Yeah.
So like... Oh, because you're critiquing your country, then you're unpatriotic, or you're not doing it. And I disagree with that 100%.
Yeah, I do it too.
I'm a very proud Brazilian, and let me tell you, I critique it all the time. Not in front of you guys,
sure.
Not in front of me, because I don't want to wash my dirty laundry in front of everyone. But you know, a lot of things that we can critique, and that's okay. And it's just. It's sad that it's become like a political thing, you know. To be patriotic is political, you know. It shouldn't be, and I think it's okay to critique it. But you were talking about people in New York being very proud of where they're from. Did you guys watch In the Heights?
In the Heights, yeah.
What'd you think?
I haven't.
I think that is very accurate. That's why I loved the movie. I loved it because it's like there's literally places in New York. And I'm not from the city necessarily, but when I go to visit, there's like a section where it's like all Dominicans and all Puerto Ricans.
Mm-hmm.
And then have you been
in Harlem, in the Heights?
And then also in the Heights where it's like all African American.
Right.
Kind of like they're all prideful and like gracious that they're, you know, black, they're Dominican, they're Puerto Rican, and whatever they're from, they're proud of it.
But what's crazy is that, like you say, there's parts of the city where... You have all these different ethnicities, but they're not like separated or segregated. Like they're all chilling. Like they're all chilling together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just all happen to live like in the same four blocks.
Yeah.
But it's not that they stay there. They're with everybody else.
Exactly.
It's just kind of how our cultures are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like a very one thing from the movie that I found really cool was just like. The pride in their own countries, and I feel like that as a Brazilian sometimes we lack.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have like, and I see a lot of that with first gen American kids.
Yeah,
especially with first gen American kids, it's either 8 or 80. You know, it's either they're really proudful and they want to get connected to their country, or they just hate it and they want to be American and they don't care about it. And they see that like their country or their parents' country is like this far away place and they don't want to get anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of like first gen Brazilian kids that hate Brazil for some reason and they hate being associated with it. And it's just sad. So it's something that I see a lot and I don't see it as much with other Hispanic countries specifically. I don't see it a lot in like I don't know. Well, I mean, you guys can attest to it more. What have you guys seen, like with first gen kids?
I mean, I feel like what you were saying about talking bad about your country. it's not that you talk about better at your country with others, but amongst yourself sometimes just like, I don't feel,
or like with your family, you start pilling, start spilling the tea with your family.
That happens. I mean, that happens with my mom. Like, she watches the news. She still watches the news of the Dominican Republic, even though she has nothing, you know what I'm saying? She's not there anymore.
Right.
But it's like, you know, the Dominican Republic is filled with, like, corruption. Like,
Right, right, dude,
it's like all the cops, literally people chop your hand off there because you have a nice watch. Over there, like, when I visited, you can't wear nice clothes. Because if you let them know that you have nice clothes and you have, you know, fortune, and they want part of that fortune.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So it's kind of like what I see with first gen kids is like they're hated on for not being born in the country. And the thing is that confuses me is that I thought that the parents were supposed to provide better for their children. So now they're being critiqued for that. Because it's like the reason that I was born in Puerto Rico instead of Dominican Republic is so that my parents thought it would be better for me to have papers. And so it's like my dad had a business out there. So it's like he moved out there so that I could have papers.
Right.
And it could also benefit them at the same time. So it's kind of like
people will never see that, though.
They don't see that. They just see, oh, you weren't born in Dominican Republic. You're a fake Dominican. It's like, how you gonna tell me I'm a fake Dominican when both of my parents are Dominican? And I don't know anything about Puerto Rico except the fact that when I went over there, when I went over there to study, that's where I learned Puerto Rico. So yes, I was born over there, but it's like I feel like we're living a generation where there's a lot of mixes. There's a lot of people getting to know each other, especially in America, where it's like you come here and you meet somebody and you fall in love with somebody that, you know, it's African, and or you fall in love with someone, you know, African falls in love with a Brazilian, and they create a mix there. And it's like the person says, oh, I'm from, you know, African, I'm African and I'm Brazilian. And people like, oh, well, you're not fully, you know, Brazilian, so you can't really be part of us. Or you're not fully African because you can't really be part of us, because it's like you're not full 100%. And it's kind of like, dang. It really does weigh on them, because it's like, I was, for example, I was like, I'm Dominican, but like as a kid it was like, nah, you're Puerto Rican, you were born there. And it was like, how you gonna tell me what I am?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like it's that. I feel like that's the critical part, because it's like if they soon associate themselves as Americans, and I've seen the result of that being that people want straighter hair, people don't want curls anymore if they have curls. And I see that with women too, because it's like they be straining their hair and damaging their curls, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, that's you, that's the real authentic you. Like, embrace it. Like, I feel like if you embrace yourself, that is so much powerful than, you know, you faking or you saying that straighter hair is more beautiful. No, it's not. Your hair is beautiful. The hair that you have, beautiful.
Right. So I think in that point, though, that's something that we've been told that. You know what I mean? Like, the media and the like the fashion industry has been so Europeanized for the past centuries that it's just so engraved in our culture that everyone wants to look like the Europeans, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that now it's starting to change. We start to see women really being proud of their natural curls and of their own features and their ethnic features, especially, you know? And I think that's something that's currently changing slowly, but that's again looking from a perspective that, okay, I'm in America and I'm seeing these changes here, but I don't know how those changes are translating back home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like, well, I mean, we are also four guys. We don't have that well perspective, you know.
And I think the only thing I really know is, like, especially in the Dominican Republic, there's like females that get critiqued, and there's a dynamic in Dominican Republic. I can only speak for Dominican Republic. Maybe this happens in you guys' culture as well, or for the listener. But it's like what happens in Dominican Republic is like they say pelo malo, like tú tienes pelo malo. So that means that you have bad hair. Yeah. And it's like if you have Afro Latina hair And if you have African-American hair, then you have bad hair. And it's like, dang, like, that's not cool. Like, that's not cool. So it's like Dominicans, they think, some of them, I don't mean to generalize, but most of them don't know that they're black, that they have been, you know, they have crows because of the slave trade. Africans came over from the Tainos, and then Spaniard came, and that's why you speak Spanish. And then you also black because people came from Africa. That's the slave trade. So it's like, you are black, but like people are like, no, me no black. I'm Dominican, papi. I'm like, my brother, you look just like the.
Let's go to your great great grandpa. Let's talk.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I were to take exaggerating my point. If I were to take somebody in Dominican Republic, my great grandfather, right? He was dark. I take him and I put him in Africa, and he doesn't speak a lick of African, but you take two people there and you look at them both and you're like, what's the difference?
Yeah, they're both African. Yeah.
Well, but this one speaks Spanish. That's the only difference. It's like, boy, you just look like him. And so I started learning about, I think that's something essential, especially for my culture, was like learning that you are black. You know what I'm saying? Look, you are black. Not African American, but that the curls that you got, the curls that you got, the big nose that you got, the big lips that you got, just because you're not dark doesn't mean you're not black. You came, you know what I'm saying? You got curls because of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and for my mom's side, it's kind of, the dynamic in Dominican Republic is so like weird. It's enriching, but it's weird at the same time, because it's like part of the island is mainly European. So you'll see a lot of them with naturally straight hair, white. And then another part of the island is mainly African. So it's like they have black hair, they have really tight curls, they're dark skin. My dad was dark skin, my mom was mainly European. So that's why I'm light skin. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all those things, it's like not being shined away from where you're from. Like, I feel like that's something so deep and so beautiful. Like, don't shy away where you're from.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you consider yourself then?
I consider myself, my race, I mean, I can't deny I'm black, you know what I'm saying? I'm black. And that's something that took a lot for me to understand. And that took a lot. Cause it's like, people look at me and be like, nah, you Hispanic. And I'm like, I'll get that. And I just took that. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't know anybody. And I went to Puerto Rico. Someone was like, haha, like, yeah, Jose. And so he just randomly said, Jose, you black? I was like, not black. Like, I'm not black. And I sounded like a Dominican, because I was just like, that's all I knew. I'm not not black.
I sounded like a Dominican.
Yeah, because like I'm not black. Like, every Dominican first generation that comes to the America would tell you that every Dominican thinks that they're not black. Even their darkest skin ever, they think that they're not black. They confuse ethnicity with race. So it's like all those things. It's like, man, like, you just got to know that, my brother, you are, you know what I'm saying? You are black. And it's like, don't be racist about it. Because it's like, a lot of them are racist. And like, that's the saddest thing to me. Because that's why, like, there's a lot of controversy between Haitians and Dominicans. And that's the saddest thing to me.
What is that? What is the
so it's
dynamic?
Like, there's just like a lot of, that's why I love my brother Claudney a little more extra, because it's like, I just try to break out of the stereotype, because it's like, our both of our bloods, it's like they don't like each other. But it's like, I see him here and I'm like, dang, bro, I feel like I want to love him more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, they have such a tension, such a controversy tension. It's like, I remember in church, the pastor, a pastor in New York, he was like, we got to love everybody. We got to love the homosexuals. We got to love, you know, people that are different, Dodgers, all those people. And also Haitians. Because, of, you know, the Dominican church was mainly Dominican. The church was mainly Dominican. And people were like, what? No. I was like, what? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, wow. Like, Haitians are really, like, Haitians and Dominicans really have bad blood. So it's like, that's what saddens me.
That's sad.
A lot. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about this rivalry, but I can also see it, at least in the Central America part, there's like, oh, you are Mexican. Oh, you're from Guatemala. Oh, you are from El Salvador or Honduras. And it's just like, no, we're just the same. We're, I know we have different cultures. Maybe our accents are different, but just knowing that we are together in the same thing, it's something that we have to understand a little bit more.
Yeah,
I don't know if that happens in South America.
Yeah, I think it's a little harder for me to say. Brazil has had a pretty, pretty good history when it's got like. One of the differences is that our independence was very a peaceful transition, so we didn't have to fight for it. We didn't have. For example, a country like Haiti, the first country to become independent, they had a revolution of slaves that had to take over the island, and we didn't have any of that. That's one of the reasons why Brazil became one of the last countries to actually, abolish slavery, because they didn't need it as much as the other countries that got its independence. So it's a lot more peaceful when it comes to us. I guess the only small beef we'd have would be with the Argentinians. That is interesting, actually. Why Brazilians and Argentinians have beef?
Hey, watch out! There's some Argentinians here.
Oh. There are some Argentinians.
We can look at the demographics.
It's all soccer related.
Oh, really?
Actually, that's what I thought. I would think. I thought that it was all soccer related, and that was it, because that's where I would see it the most. I lived in the south of Brazil, and that's like right beside Argentina and Uruguay. And so I remember teachers in class. Oh, what was that? I remember teachers in class like joking that God loves everyone except Argentinians.
God.
Or that the Argentinians came from an egg. And we came from
and an it was, egg? I mean, technically, yes.
What?
I mean,
an egg.
An egg, yeah.
Wait, what?
That went over their head.
They didn't know.
That's gonna be one of the clips that we put in the stories.
An egg.
Zay saying that they came from an egg.
They did.
What do you mean they came from an egg? Wait. I wanna dive into like, this. What do you mean,
bro? Do we have
study biology
from an egg?
Yes. Yes.
Anyways.
Okay.
Come on now. When did we have our birds and bees conversation with our parents?
No.
Actually,
okay.
That's a good topic.
They don't teach you this in Brazil?
They don't.
Okay.
My parents did not teach me at all. Nah.
You never had the conversation?
No, I had to learn from the streets, and that was the most terrible thing.
You learned from the streets? Oh boy.
So I wasn't even like born. I wasn't born in the Adventist world, so like everything I learned was on the playground or
on the playground
or the locker room. Yikes,
and nowadays,
it's like, boy, oh boy.
Man. So let's jump back to why Argentina and Brazil.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Argentina and Brazil. Yeah.
Y'all could talk about the birds and the bees on your own. Ask your parents. We're not doing that here.
No,
we're gonna have to put an explicit in front of the title.
We don't get paid enough to talk about that.
Yeah, no.
Right. This is another conversation. Anyway, Argentinians. So what actually happens? So a lot of what I saw a lot was like my grandpa would say, oh, did you see on the news that a bus from Argentinians came over to watch the soccer match, and then they trashed the restaurant on the way or something like that.
What?
And that would just, and it would infuriate everyone in the south of Brazil. Everyone would go, oh my God, those Argentinians. Oh my God, the Argentinians, blah, 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 blah. Look at what they do, blah, blah. And they would go to the beach and everyone would be like, oh, the Argentinians are going to trash the place.
Dang.
And it was like, but it wasn't, now that's the thing, it was a rivalry. It wasn't bad blood, you know?
Okay, it wasn't
we
bad
would
blood.
Still, like if you met an Argentinian, you'd be fine with them. You guys would talk,
right.
You would have Argentinian friends. And there are a lot of Brazilians in Argentina as well.
Right.
But yeah, so a lot of it was just, most of it was honestly like who's best, Maradona or Pelé, you know?
So who's the best?
Pelé, of course. I mean, come on. Come on. 1,000 goals, Maradona.
Neymar or Messi?
He can... see, now...
Now, why you gotta hesitate? We know the answer. Come on now.
Okay, look, we're talking about old time here. Old time.
Oh, just
are you gonna put Messi on top of Maradona?
I mean, he could finish there. Yes, he could finish there.
Okay, so okay, fine. Then let's open to this: Messi or Pelé.
That's pretty up there. Actually. I mean,
there's one word answer. Hard.
But
there's one word.
Wait, it's hard.
I'm close to the control. I'm just gonna mute them.
It's hard because, dang. Well, I think, and I love talking sports. And I think that the World Cup is the hardest champion to win.
Oh yeah.
Because 100%. I just think that you got to go every 4 years. And then you only have one shot.
One shot.
Sure.
And you don't get to choose. It's not like basketball where you have the freedom to like choose your teams. It's like, oh, you were born in Egypt? You were born in
yeah.
And I forgot the country. Wow. In Argentina, then oh, you can only play for this team unless mm-hmm. you change your citizenship, you know what I'm saying? And that's extra work. And like I feel like they look down upon that in my career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's
do.
Like, yeah, so kind of that. It's like for Messi, I just feel like, dang, like
poor him.
I feel bad for him.
He should have been born in Brazil. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
If he was born there, he would have probably sure. already won a world, like probably two, probably. You know what I'm saying?
With that's Messi. All he's missing, though.
That's yeah. all he's missing.
That's all he's missing. That's what I'm saying. But like Pelé already has that, so it's like
Pelé has what, three?
Yeah. Mm, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
yeah. I think
I'm not that
yeah.
informed.
Most,
I think
most
World Cups. I think they're different. I think Messi could end up there.
Oh yeah,
easily. I mean, we're gonna do that. We gotta throw Ronaldo's name in there. But
I low key think Ronaldo's better than Messi.
Currently,
I just think like
currently, yes. Yeah.
Like I hear the name sure. Pelé, and I think, yo, that's like the biggest icon.
Yeah, like you know I feel like saying? Like kind of like Jordan level kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. He's like the Jordan, the Ali. He's like, actually, I would argue even more. I'd say Jordan is the Pelé of basketball because Pelé came, first of all, Pelé came before. I mean, I know.
Basketball is a different sport now.
Basketball, yeah. It is.
It's a whole can of worms.
It is a different sport. Yeah, completely different. But I would say, okay, so basketball, one of the things about basketball that translates well, rather than other American sports, is that it's so fluid. You know, mm-hmm. the team has the freedom to build plays lot more than a sport like American football. That's just, you know, momentum and stop. You know, and it's a lot of strategy and techniques and all that, but it's like play by play,
right?
Or like baseball, another. Mm-hmm. So how you define who's the greatest of all time in those sports is just metrics, you know. You need to measure the amount of throws, the amount of touchdowns, the amount of yards. So it's a lot more focused on that. It's not as chemistry related as something like basketball is. When you watch, when you say, okay, basketball. Why was Jordan the best of all time? Then you need to look at the way he played, the way like the things that he would do that only he could do.
Yeah.
And Pelé did that a way before Jordan did it.
Yeah.
And I think like Pelé just completely changed soccer in a way that, come on. Greatest in the world.
I think that like basketball is like, it's just different. I mean, I could talk about it like for 4 hours. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But like, I just feel like the dynamic of sports is like, we won't know until like couple years. Like it's just something different about. Mm-hmm. There's like a recency bias. Like
always has been.
For me, it's like, I love like LeBron is my favorite player. But I feel like it's not until he retires and there's 10 years after where it's like people are going to look back and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I agree.
Because it's like, man, like it's difficult, man. I don't think he's a GOAT, but it's like it's difficult because he's going to end up being the first overall in points ever. It's like, dang, that's tough. You know what I'm saying? That is tough. And it's like,
I know I'm on an island. He's already.
Yeah.
He's already the GOAT.
LeBron?
Yeah.
I think for me, it's like, it's just time.
And that's a whole another podcast for a whole another day.
Yeah.
But your point is spot on. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
Because here's what I've always said. It's not going to be until Kelvin is 75 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I got my grandchild on my lap,
yeah.
and we're looking through the record books, and he's going to turn around and he's say, "Grandpa Kelvin, I see one name atop all of these record books.
All of them.
Grandpa, how could anybody else be better than this dude?" And I'm going to tell you, you know what? No one in my time understood that, and it's not until you looking now at the books.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody...
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody has their own different metric as to who's the greatest and blah, blah, blah. So that'll always be like a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it... I don't know. That's a whole another thing that I could go into. I just think he's the greatest player of all
time.
Do we
agree that Brady is the greatest of all time?
In football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have
look,
to.
Look,
it's like...
I mean, I don't know.
I agree with you. I agree with you that... Or was it you that said the World Cup's the hardest thing to win?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree. It is. I do think that football is easily... I think the World Cup's hard to win just because you have to play for the country.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And it happens every 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you miss
I would
it,
say that there's winning a Super Bowl... I would say winning a Super Bowl is the hardest thing to do in sports just because you are required to have 53 men... on a roster along with 25 to 30 coaches along with a management that maybe includes another 30 to 40 people. That's 120 people that for 7 months of the year have to all be on the same page and all do their job so perfect that you end up at the end winning a game.
Yeah.
Having that many people, I mean, good grief. We could say, let's go out to eat right now. Me and you couldn't agree on where to eat. So to have 53 players all on the same page and that many coaches and people in an organization, to me, it's huge. So now when you go Brady and you think the guy's won 6-1, that's great. And then he goes to a whole nother scene and does it again in Tampa, a team that sucked for so long. I don't know how he can't be, as much as I hate the guy.
Really?
Sure.
Wow.
But he's the greatest of all time. And it's not even, I mean... You could throw out some names in there, but the dude's got 7 rings.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, like, what argument are you going to put up to him when he just doesn't do this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He's going to show you 7 of his rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Kobe when somebody says something in the crowd. And
he'd just be like, look, I got 5 of these, yo.
He's like, 5. I got 5. Like, you can't take that away from me. But, like, I just feel it's difficult for football because it's like the quarterback gets all the credit and all the blame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no matter what happens on the team, it's like all the quarterback. So it's like, I feel like...
It's the most important position in all of sports.
Yeah, all the most important position. Like, it's like, in basketball, it's positionless. Like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Except you never win if you have like a good point guard, like a great point guard. You can have a great point guard, but it's usually small forwards and, you know... And small forwards and power forwards that win.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you got a really good at that position, then yes. But it's like, man, it's difficult to like determine who's the best. It's like it takes time. It takes longevity and all that. I feel like with basketball, it's easier, but it's harder at the same time. Because I feel like with basketball, the level of talent that those people are in is highly professional, highly professional, and for a different reason. I think that it's like it's one of the toughest champions. It's just like the strain in your body, the consistency, and also the 7 games, and the fact that you gotta like travel and also change your dynamic and do the same thing over and over again, and not only being the same thing, but like also changing it up, because like that's the greatest part. That's the greatest component of winning a championship is like. You're able to do different things effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can't do it one way. And that's in football, correct me if I'm wrong, you could do the same thing and still win. You know what I'm saying? Have the same routine, have the same plays, and have the same way you do been doing, but doing it consistently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like for basketball, you got to switch it up
because
they'll change it on you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And I know you didn't want this to turn into a sports podcast, but
my bad.
No, that's fine.
That's my bad.
I just want to make no, It's good because I could have gone on forever with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll just make one point.
Go for it.
I think that we are living in one of the greatest eras of sports ever.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think that we need to ever take it for granted, because if you look across every major sport around the world, just think about what we're watching, and we'll just go quickly. In football, you're watching the greatest player ever. Like we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
still at his prime.
Right.
In basketball, it was either us or our parents that got to see LeBron or Jordan.
Yeah. Right.
In soccer, we've seen Messi and Ronaldo. And I mean, good grief, in golf, Tiger Woods was, I mean, there might not be anything more dominant than Tiger Woods when he was at his best. In tennis, you've got all three of the best playing right, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. Even in women's tennis, Serena, we got the chance to see Serena. So it's like you could keep going down the list of sports. A lot of the greatest of all times are like currently, yeah. like right
people,
now.
People aren't seeing it.
Playing in yeah. our era, and they're not going to last forever, obviously.
Yeah, they're not.
So it's like I feel bad for our kids, because like I don't think yeah. our kids are ever going to see.
They're just going to hear us talk
anything
about
like this, anything ever Serena. Again, where you're potentially watching the greatest of all time in almost every single sport.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like when LeBron came out.
And I forgot about baseball. Barry Bonds was.
Yeah.
I think Barry Bonds was the greatest ever. But
exactly.
Wasn't. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Mike Trout is. Oh, man. You're really tempting me to just go off on all the sports stuff in the world. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. And if he walked into Walmart today, no one would have any idea who he is.
Right. I have no idea what he looks like.
That's baseball's marketing issue. And I could go into that forever. But that's a problem. He's never on any commercials. He's not even on the video game cover. You see LeBron and Tom Brady in every commercial yeah. on television. That's why they're so mm-hmm. great. But anyway, Mike Trout has been in the league for 8 years. He's either won the MVP or been second every single year he's been in the league. And he could retire today and easily be in the Hall of Fame. But no one will never know who the guy is. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
So I think that's baseball as a whole, though. It's just like dying off, you know, ever since and I saw a small documentary about this. Ever since the, what is it, when the people start, the strike, the player strike, when they had to cancel the league. That was like almost a decade ago.
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Baseball just can't market itself. Yeah. That's the problem. After they spend no money into marketing.
Yeah,
and they have a lot of money.
Absolutely.
They have like so much money.
They're the only league with no salary cap. So you can just pay your players. That's why they get like 10-year, $400 million contracts. Like in the NFL.
Million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just whatever the owner and the team can afford.
Yeah.
And in football, you have $186 million. That's all you can have on your payroll. So you got to figure out who to pay and how much to pay them. In baseball, man, you can just, if the billionaires have got the money, they'll just tell you how much you want and come play with me.
Yeah.
But baseball just doesn't market itself.
Right.
Which is crazy because it's so international. It's like Puerto Rico, Dominican. It's like the World Baseball Classic every year. It's like there's so many players that come here that want to play baseball. But no one knows who they are, because
yeah.
a lot of them could walk through Walmart. A lot of them could be on campus, and you'd be like, "Oh, that guy probably plays basketball or something crazy." But you'd never know that they're superstars, because baseball just can't market itself. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's 162 games, and no one wants to go to all those games. It's like,
dang, yeah.
I think it's a marketing issue.
Yeah, it is.
So to start winding down.
Sorry, we just turned into ESPN yeah, there for like 20 yeah. minutes.
No. What do you guys think? A part two? Just sports.
Just sports?
Just sports.
Oh, yikes.
I'd love to come in to just listen, because I don't think I have a lot of input.
Nah, man, I could talk about sports
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like, nah, I don't know. I feel bad, because it's like I really could like talk about a lot of things. Like,
spend 2 hours just straight on
yeah,
sports.
Nah, it's man, bro. It's like it's just different. It's just like sports is a dynamic where it's like it revolves not only the person but the sport, but how it impacts the world at that time.
Yeah,
that's why I feel like Michael Jordan was one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Because mm-hmm.
what he did not only with basketball, but he did in Paris, he did with shoes. Nike was never what it was today. Like, we wear Nike nowadays, and we don't know how much impact Michael Jordan had upon that.
Yeah.
and my how much impact Michael Jordan had upon Jordan, Nike, and also hip hop. So it's like when that happened, he just like they inwoven themselves like hip hop, and that's a thing now. That's why we wear Jordans. That's why people wear Jordans nowadays that are only meant to wear basketball shoes.
Yeah,
but they wear for fashion now. Uh-huh. And it's like, what? That's crazy. And like this guy was known by people in France, and he would walk over there. And that was in a time where it's like social media and all that was not a thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew who Michael Jordan was. And so it's like, he was like an icon legend.
He made the game global.
Exactly. Global. And it's like I recommend just seeing like The Last Dance and seeing how, obviously it's, you know, it's exaggerated because it's like, it's basically about him, but it's like, mm-hmm. it allows you to know how ridiculously famous and how much of like a person that was idolized in his time.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to hear like somebody in his time being idolized the way that he was.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like for now we take it for granted because like LeBron is like that great. He's like, dude, he's a billionaire in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's not every NBA player. Mm-hmm. We take that for granted. And so it's like, I don't know if I don't think Tom Brady's a billionaire. Mm-mm. I don't think other people in sports are actively playing and still a billionaire. That's crazy to me. So it's like all in terms of like marketing, all in terms of like just playing and longevity that LeBron has had is crazy. Like the fact that he's been so consistent and also in terms of businesses and all that is it's remarkable.
I think if there was a second part, we could do like a how sports and life go together because the dynamic between just like us living our daily life and sports is insane. The fact that like we can have an argument about whatever on Friday, but we're both Dallas Cowboy fans. We can get back at my house on Sunday and cheer for the same team. Mm-hmm. Despite the argument that we may have had 2 days ago about whatever, something stupid, sports can bring those two people back into a room all cheering for the same team for 4.5 hours. So sports does a lot of stuff, I think, just impact in our life that maybe we just don't think about.
Yeah.
That's a whole another episode for a whole other day.
That is a whole another episode. But yeah, I definitely like to see it. I like to listen to that. That's for sure. Okay, Jose, you wanna cue us out? Oh wait, we need to ask them for the.
Do you guys have a tagline?
Yeah, a tagline.
Tagline.
What's
come on?
What's the tagline?
Do you guys have any shout outs? Any last words you wanna let the people know? Any maybe give your socials or where people can find you? You know, let us know. Zach, go ahead.
You don't got socials, bro?
I mean, I do. I just didn't know if you wanted to go first.
No, you got it. I talked a lot, bro. You got it.
Well, I have a sports podcast you can listen to.
Okay.
It's called Kelvin's Corner, right. The True Temperature of Sports.
Right.
Very much pun intended with the temperature joke. That's all I got with Kelvin. So, yeah, you can check that out pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Obviously, Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the two most popular. So it's Kelvin's Corner with a K, both Kelvin's Corner. Mm. And yeah, that kind of be the only thing I'd shout out. I love my podcast. Mm-hmm. Getting back into recording and got some pretty cool guests coming up. So
that's cool, man. Yeah,
we'll see. Cool. That's a cool shout out. Yeah. We'll put the link in the description.
Sure.
You guys can find Kelvin's Corner there. And what about you, Zay?
I don't know. I'm tempted to put my Instagram out there, but I don't know.
You don't want floods of DMs, do you?
Yeah. No.
Don't worry. S is going to tag you when it comes out.
Honestly, yeah, just tag me. That's it. Like, that's it. But shout out my mom. Just shout out my mom. Shout out the homies this semester. Shout out Danny Verduro. Dang, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. But Danny, you know, Maria's husband. That's what I call
There you go.
Him.
That's what everybody knows.
That's how they know.
Yeah, that's how they know. But also Christian Tarbox, like those gentlemen here, that's the reason why I'm even in Soao right now. They prayed for me and God let me here. So it's gracious opportunity to be here today. And my mama who raised me, my daddy, and my little brother. That's it. And shout out.
All right. Hey, thank
Shout
you
out to you guys as well for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
No, I love being
guys,
on the podcast.
Thank you guys for coming, for talking to us, for having this awesome chat. And I think we want to shout out. Elevate. Retake for letting us use this room. Kelvin, this is the person we're really shouting out because, Kelvin, thank you so much for this room. This place, guys, I'm going to tell you, this place is amazing. And we're going to put some pictures on the stories
it's
or something.
It's legit.
Because this place is really cool. Yeah. And, yeah, this is...
It's painted as well.
Yeah, painted.
The transformation of what it looked like 2 months ago to now is...
Bro, it has couches, bro.
It has couches. It has everything.
It has couches that I built. So as long as they're standing.
You built these?
Yeah, dude. we put these together.
Bro. Yo, you know what? Yo, ladies out there. If you don't sit down, think about Calvin at night. Boy, that boy single. That boy ready to mingle. I think so. Man, he's a handyman. Talking about sports.
Girls, he talks about sports. Boy. He builds furniture.
Bro.
He changed the room.
Come on, bro.
Did girls who have Pinterest boards saved with any changes you want to make?
Hey, the most important thing, we host a podcast about the Lord.
Amen. Ooh, look at that.
Amen.
Hey, above all things,
above all,
man of the Lord.
Above all, God, God has to be first.
God has to be first.
That's a good note. That's a good note to end the podcast in.
There we go.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, guys.
Gotta call him up. Ladies, come on. Don't waste your time.